It's great to see you this morning. Thank you very much for being a part of our services here. Thank you for your active participation in our worship today. It's great to see so many that may have not been able to be with us. Of course, we certainly are thankful that we have Angel here today, and thankful that we have visitors here today, thankful that we have members here today, thankful for those who aren't able to be here that we have live stream that they can tune in. I love the church. I love everything about the church. I love the design of the church. I love that Jesus Christ is the head of the church. I love that He set up elders to shepherd the flock. I love that along the way the apostles early on in the church realized that they couldn't, that elders ultimately couldn't do it all, and so they set up deacons to serve in leadership. I love that we have so many men and women alike that participate not only in Bible class, but in so many other wonderful activities. I love along the way that I have been blessed to be hired by the church, that I get to work with other great ministers here in this church. I love the church. I hope that you love the church. I hope that you love the things that we talked about today. But unfortunately, if you were to take a look at maybe a roll sheet, maybe if you were to think of those who were on some pews around you. Now again, we've had a lot of folks come in and take those spots on those pews. We have folks that are out of town today, and I'm not talking about those who are normally here. But if you were to survey the church here and the church around us, you would notice that not everybody loves the church. Haggai chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. There is no PowerPoint this morning, and that is on no one but me. Robert is sick, so pray for him. He said, "Hey, Terry, put it on a flash drive." Well, I just didn't have a flash drive. So, sorry. You have to take good notes today. Haggai 1, verses 3 through 5. "Then the word of the Lord," Seth read this to us a moment ago, "came by Haggai the prophet, saying, 'Is it time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses, in this temple to lie in ruins? Now therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways.'" Today, as we enter into this lesson, as we continue in this introduction and we get into the body of it, I want you and me to do what God said through the prophet Haggai all those years ago. We need to consider our ways. Do I love the church? Do I like the church? Have I abandoned the church? See, there was a church's leadership that sold their building. Attendance got so low, everything was just not going well. They couldn't pay the bills, the lights, the electricity, the power bill was costing a lot of money. And so along the way, they ended up having to downsize. And they needed to downsize their building. And so they put it up for sale, and they sold it to a real estate developer, and they moved into a smaller location in another area of town. Well, that made the news. Church had been in that community for a while, and people knew that church for many years. And so there was some online things like AL.com. You know, they'll have an article, and then they'll have all these comments under it. Well, in the comments, people were outraged. You believe that? People getting upset about something, right? And there were dozens of comments from people complaining about the church's decision to sell. Not only did they love the church being there, they didn't want anything else to be there. Now they're going to tear that building down and put a shopping center or something right there. And so people were blasting the church leadership. They blamed the minister. They slandered his name. They were furious that the church was no longer there. One in the comments said, "I grew up in that church. I can't believe they sold it, and now it's going to be torn down." Another one said, "It's so sad that I used to go to that church my whole life." Another said, "I used to teach Sunday school there." Another said, "I used to lead singing there some." Another said, "I was a member there for decades." You couldn't help but notice that all of the comments, all the complaints about the decision to sell that church, they were in the past tense. "I used to do this. I used to be a member. I used to go there." Well, see, what happened in that situation, in that scenario, if you will, is that those people quit loving the church. Not only did they quit loving the church, they quit liking the church. Not only did they quit liking the church, they had abandoned the church. In Revelation chapter 3, Jesus had a message for the church at Sardis. He said unto them, "I know your works, that you have a name, that you are alive, but you are dead." Suppose for a moment, another scenario if you will. There was a congregation that had remodeled their auditorium, their church building. They had all these big plans. They built it big. They knocked out walls. It was going to be great. But through a certain chain of events, the membership dissolved. And the building now sits idle. The facility is deserted. Trees and shrubs and grass have overtaken the exterior of the building. If you were to take a tour inside, you would go into that church building and you would see that there are pews and there are songbooks still in the pews. There's a Bible sitting atop the pulpit. The offering plates and flower vase remained on the table. Markers and art supplies cover the table of the children's Sunday school classes. It's as if they locked the doors one week and with every intention of worshiping the Savior the following Sunday, but now the work and the worship are gone. Can you see that scene in your head? Well, when Haggai wrote in Haggai chapter 1, that in a lot of ways described the people of Israel. They had found themselves in a similar situation some 600 years before the birth of Jesus Christ. It was at this point in Israel's history they had been taken captive by Babylon. Jerusalem, the hometown, had been plundered and burned. The temple where they gathered to worship God was destroyed. Babylon eventually fell to the king of Persia named Cyrus. And after some 70 years in captivity, the people were then set free and they were allowed to return home. God then charged Cyrus to rebuild the temple in Jerusalem. That's recorded in Ezra 1, verse 2 and 3. Here are these words. "Thus said Cyrus, king of Persia, all the kingdoms of the earth the Lord God of heaven has given me, and he has commanded me to build him a house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Who is among you of all his people? May his God be with him, and let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and build the house of the Lord God of Israel. He is God, which is in Jerusalem." You see, God had made it clear that the temple was to be rebuilt. And even though God had set things for this task to be completed and finished and it all to be great, the people had other plans. Instead of working on the temple, you know what they did according to Haggai? They went about their daily lives. They sought to fulfill their own wants, their own desires, their own feelings they needed to feel good about. Their lives took precedence over the things that God had set in order. Think about that for a moment. I love the church. You love the church. But there are others that have quit loving the church. Remember the church at Ephesus? Do you remember how on fire for God they were? Go back and read the book of Ephesians sometime. Paul was just so encouraged, but then he wrote and he challenged them and talked about unity and he talked about great things and how they should build up the church. And man, it just seemed like the church at Ephesus, they were going to be a great church for a long time, but one of the seven churches of Asia that Jesus addressed was the church of Ephesus. And here's what he said to them. He said, "You left your first love. Today, there are people that are not moving forward in the church anymore. They have stopped and they've gone backwards. Why? Because they quit loving the church of our Lord. And they love themselves. Just like the people of Israel 600 years before Jesus Christ, they had this opportunity after 70 years of captivity to go home, build the temple, and worship a God again. But they didn't. That's why Haggai said, then the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet saying, it is time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses and this temple to lie in ruins. In other words, they were building these beautiful homes with cedar panels all throughout them because they had all this money and all this wealth and all this prosperity, and they put themselves on their thrones, but they didn't love God like they should. They didn't love worship like they should. That's why the Lord of hosts said, consider your ways. Consider your ways. Their story is a great illustration of the modern church today. Think about it for a moment. God delivered them from their adversaries, right? They had been taken captive, and now God had delivered them. He had rescued them from their captivity. He secured their freedom, blessed them mightily. Grady said earlier, just take a look around our parking lot. He commanded them to accomplish a specific task, but they looked out for their own selves first. In the same fashion, God's delivered us from the great adversary, Satan. He's rescued us from the bondage of sin. He's provided us with freedom, blessed us mightily, and commanded us to accomplish certain tasks for Him. Now, there are a lot that are doing that. But sadly, many have responded by ignoring His commands, forsaking their duty, and living for themselves instead of serving God. God called Israel to consider their ways. I believe He's calling us today to do the same. Now, I know this may be a sermon for the converted, because you're here. But just because you're here doesn't mean you love the church. Just because you're here doesn't mean that you love God Almighty with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Just because you're here doesn't mean that your heart is where it needs to be. We need to ward off a loss of desire for God's work. A loss of desire for God's will. A loss of desire for God's Word. You see, we need to desire those things so much. The way we desire breath is the way we need to desire God's Word. The way we desire food is the way we need to desire God's work. The way we desire our family is the way we need to desire God's people. So what happens for a person to get to a point where they abandon the church? Five things. Five things we're going to talk about today. Number one, when people abandon the love of the church and they abandon the work of the church and the will of the church and the desire for God, number one, exaltation is abandoned. You know that our mission here at Azalea City, our mission statement, the first words out of it is, we exist to exalt Christ. We exist to exalt Christ. So when I lose the desire to exalt Jesus Christ, then I have gotten to the point where I don't love the church and I've abandoned her. To exalt literally means to elevate or to praise. This is our whole reason for being here today, to exalt God Almighty. Our Lord is worthy to be praised. As the temple lay in ruins, the people of Israel were not gathering to praise Him. 2 years ago was the worst time as a minister of my life not being able to gather with y'all. Now, I love Justin Barnes. And I love the time that we grew together and we set up here. But we both would always say, I can't wait till we don't have to do this anymore. I mean, we would present the Word and we would do, and all the, we had people knocking it out of the park. All that crew upstairs, everything else. But when we were shut down and we couldn't be here, didn't we miss it? Didn't we miss it? I mean, we did. So many missed it so much. We would hear, I can't wait. Now, unfortunately, some haven't been able to even come back from that. But do you know for 70 years they didn't get to gather? Can you imagine? 2 years, I know we came back before 2 years, but just a year or so, a few months or whatever it was a long time. And we missed it. And you would think the more we were away, the more we'd miss it, but that may not be the case. The further we're away, the more we don't miss it. 10 years went by in Israel's life, 20 years, people were dying, 30 years, 40 years, 5 decades, 6 decades, 7 decades went by. And now they're free. Go back home. Build the temple. And exalt me. And they just didn't do it. When we lose the desire to exalt God Almighty, we have abandoned the church of our Lord. Even though there's a good number here, I can't think and help. Again, I've been here for 45 years. As a minister, I've been here 20-something. I've lost count now. But my whole life, I have been a part of this church family. From Fairview to Lot Road to here. I have met a lot of people along the way. I've said goodbye to a lot of people along the way. And I've watched a lot of people leave. I've watched a lot of people come. Watched a lot of people be immersed. I can't help but think how many over the years have professed to love the Lord, to love the Lord, that have forsaken the opportunity to praise Him today. Why are they not in the church today? Many would say they just didn't have time. That's a common factor in the abandoned church. Why? Just didn't have time. Go back to those illustrations I told you earlier. Those people that said, I used to. They didn't go anymore because they quit having time. You know, people no longer offer their time to the Lord. It's amazing what people can find time for, though. It's even more amazing how many insignificant things can hinder people from offering the Lord what He truly deserves. If you're too busy for God, folks, you're too busy. I promise you that. If you and I are too busy for God, then we are way too busy. Many people who claim to be followers of Christ also apparently claim to not have time for Him. Meaning they don't have time to study the Word of God. They don't have time to pray. They don't have time to check on people. They don't have time to do a happy or a good or a pleasantry for someone. They don't have time to make a call. They don't have time to write a card. They don't have time to write a letter. Well, guess what? Those people have abandoned the church. You see, a problematic prayer life, a problematic study life, a problematic time life doesn't allow people to do great things in life for God. People also say, I don't have time to worship. The temple was the place of worship. But the people in Israel didn't have time to worship. They didn't have time to rebuild the house of worship. Why? They were too busy building their own fine homes. The Lord confronted the people in their priorities. He said, you say the time has not yet come to rebuild the house of the Lord. You are dwelling in luxurious houses while My house lies in ruins. I've heard it said, I don't have time for this. I don't have time for that. Listen, folks, my friend Justin has said, busy's the new lazy, I think. You know, we're all busy people. Listen, I mean, I am very disappointed in some ways in myself. A lot of great things have happened. I've been encouraged a lot of ways, done a lot of good things. But in 1 year's time, I will have put 20,000 miles on my pickup truck. I mean, you just look and you're like, you go, you're always gone. Yesterday was the first Saturday I did not get in my truck, and I can't tell you how long. And it rained, so I didn't have to worry about going outside. I still have to go cut my backyard one more time. But I was just, I mean, I really didn't do anything. Now, I'm always uncomfortable with that. Why? Because I'm always so busy. I'm always so going. I don't know what it's like to not do something. But that's how we all are. But sometimes that Saturday carries over to Sunday, doesn't it? And it carries over to Wednesday, and it carries over to every day, and it carries over to the point that we don't have time to worship. When attendance numbers are down, there is no shortage of excuses that are offered. The reason that you see church buildings, with for sale signs in front of them is because people no longer offer their time to the Lord. The reason that countless assemblies are having to cut their budgets in half, lay off ministry staff, sell their buildings to survive is because people no longer offer the time to the Lord. People not offering their time to the Lord is a cause and consequence of people abandoning the love of the church. We could also say that people no longer have time to offer their treasures to the Lord. You know, George stood up here Sunday a week ago and said, hey, we were behind on budget for the year. We made budget last week, and normally we would do pretty well the first Sunday of the month. And I like somebody else to preach on budget, even though I shepherd part of the shepherding of this flock. I like somebody else to preach on that or teach on that because, you know, I don't want people to think that I'm vying for a raise for me. But at the end of the day, we got to pay bills. There are people that can't pay their bills anymore, right? Because people quit going, people quit giving, people quit doing whatever. Some wise person said, if you notice somebody who's not giving anymore, talking to an elder in the church, you notice somebody who's not giving anymore, usually there's a problem there. You know, it's a heart, all of it, as my friend Larry Hancock would say, it's a heart problem. It's a heart problem. We'll be here all night if I don't get to these next points, though. But folks, it's all about exalting. Giving is not about me. Listen, worst case scenario, man, I got people I can move in with. Some of them just went like, y'all start giving. But I do. I mean, worst case scenario, listen, I'm always going to preach. I believe God wants me to be a minister. I believe He wants me. But at the end of the day, if, you know, it's not about me. If this church had to cut a salary and cut me, you know what? God promised me He would provide for me. I'm going to be okay. So your giving doesn't have anything to do with me. It's about exalting Him. Your worship isn't about me. Now, don't get me wrong. I need you here. You need me here. We need to be here. But it's about Him. My prayer life, my Bible study life, it's not about what it does for Terry or what it does for the elders or Justin or Taylor or Jason. It's about God. When we lose that sight, we're in danger of abandoning our love for the church. Secondly, though, somebody said, secondly, like he's got 3 or 4 more of these? Sorry, that tickled me. Edification is abandoned. Edification is abandoned. We exist to exalt Christ and also to edify. What is edification? It is instruction, education, and or improvement. God wants us to grow closer to Him. All my other points are not near as long, young person, so trust me. God wants us to grow closer to Him. He wants us to learn more about Him. Ephesians 4, verse 11, He gave some apostles, some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. You see, the Lord has set in order a process for His people. That process is to help us mature or grow in our faith. It's to help us to grow spiritually. But for this to take place, we've got to be present. You know, it's like going to the gym. Now listen, the gym is a big part of my life, and it may not be yours. Some of y'all like to run. That is never in my life. Okay, so it's different strokes for different folks, right? But, you can go buy you a gym membership. You can go buy you some workout clothes, some workout shoes, and buy you some supplements. You can go spend a pretty good chunk of money and let it all sit there and you not go, and it ain't going to do you a lick of good. Jesus Christ purchased the church with all His blood. He purchased salvation for you and for me with His blood. He purchased a spot in heaven for us with His blood. But if we abandon the church, it does us no good. Each week we can come into this place and we can worship God. You know what's going to happen? We're going to grow. Each week we can open up the Word of God and we can study it. You know what's going to happen? We're going to grow. But when we abandon the church, we abandon the opportunity to be built up, to be edified. Thirdly, what happens when I abandon the church? That means encouragement is abandoned. Encouragement is to give support, confidence, or hope to someone. You know, there are some people of our number that are facing devastating circumstances as we speak. Life is hard. Troubles are many. Jesus Christ said it. In this life you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer, for I have overcome this world. But there are people in our number that are hurting, discouraged, and depressed. But in their grief, instead of drawing closer to God, you know what they've done? They've forsaken the place of refuge. They have abandoned the church. If you are facing difficult days in your life right now, the last thing you should do is abandon your church family. There are people here who love you. There are people here who care for you. And there are people here who will do anything in their power to encourage you. And church, if one of our brothers or sisters are hurting, the last thing we should do is abandon them. You see, this is a place of encouragement. I like to joke and I like to kid, and y'all joke and kid with me, and that's fine. We're going to keep doing that. But in no way do we want to come here and deliberately tell somebody something to hurt them, to discourage them, to tear them down. We're in the edifying business, not the tearing down business. We're in the encouraging business, not the discouraging business. As members of the Lord's church, we have the opportunity to be encouraged by others. Likewise, we have the responsibility to encourage others. But when you are not here, you cannot encourage or be encouraged. Fourthly, this morning, what happens when the church is abandoned? What happens when I quit loving the church, liking the church, and I leave the church? Well, then evangelism is abandoned. When you see a deserted church building, it is more than brick and mortar that is decaying and falling apart. You see, that building is a metaphor for the souls in that surrounding area. I'd like to think that the Azalea City Church of Christ, if it were no longer in this area would miss it. Now, if this area wouldn't miss it, then we need to rethink some things. You know, I like to even think if I weren't here in this congregation, I would be missed. Not for, hey, you know, the pat on the back, but because I was an evangelist. And I went around trying to put in a good word for Jesus Christ. That's the difference we need to make in this community and this area. You see, we are all called to be evangelists. Paul, in writing to Timothy, what did he tell him to do? He said, do the work of an evangelist. Be ready in season, out of season, right? Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. But we got to be ready in all things. There are going to be all kinds out there that try to discourage us, try to hurt us. But it is our responsibility to put in a good word for Jesus Christ. If you're not here and I'm not here and this church is not here, this community hurts. Souls hurt. Evangelism is abandoned. But then finally, this morning, when it comes down to abandoning the church, again, it's about moving forward. Not being still, not backing up, but I'm talking to those who have gotten still, and I'm talking to those who are backing up. Because once we get into that car, if you will, once we get into that mode of being still or backing up, then we are going further and further away from the love of the church. Once the church is abandoned, finally, fifthly, effort is abandoned. Now I want to take you back to the 600 years before Jesus Christ, the time of Haggai. As we think about this temple now laying in ruin, I can't help but wonder about the temple servants. I wonder how they passed the time since there was no longer a temple for them to serve in. You know, those are things you don't always think about. I mean, there were servants who worked at that temple. What do they do now? You see, for the people of Israel at this time in their history, their effort was misplaced. See, that's the case for many in the church today. They are focused on the wrong things and the wrong people. And the majority are simply focused on themselves. You see, if that describes you, you know what the Lord's doing? Same thing He was doing that when Haggai wrote that. He's calling you to consider your ways. Everything we've talked about today is just a problem of a symptom of a greater problem. If you have abandoned exaltation, if you have abandoned edification, if you have abandoned encouragement, if you have abandoned evangelism, if you have abandoned effort, if you have abandoned the church, it's an indicator of the fact that somewhere along the way you have abandoned Jesus Christ. Israel was in a very good place compared to where they had come from, right? But they were not where God wanted them to be. They were not doing what God wanted them to do. The church of Sardis had a reputation among men as being alive. The church at Ephesus had a reputation of love and good works. But the church at Sardis was dead. The church at Ephesus had left their first love. Today, fall in love with the church again. Fall in love with Jesus Christ again. Fall in love with our God again. If in any way you have stopped or you're backing up, it's time to press forward. Today, if you are not yet a part of the greatest institution that's ever been brought into existence, the Church of our Lord, today, you can respond to the invitation. Be baptized into Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of every sin you've ever committed. And God will add you to the church. Today, don't quit loving the church. If you have a need, won't you come right now together, we stand and sing.